Everyone, welcome to the Tuesday, November 12th, 2024 Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting. I hereby call this meeting to order, and our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. So if I can ask everybody to rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Christman, if you would please take the roll.
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Giovanello.
Here.
And Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
There are five present, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Christman. Before we get into our first order of business, which is the visitor and public comment, we have a visitor here this evening from Pennsylvania American Water who is going to just kind of give an update in response to a public comment that we had a few weeks ago. We welcome you to the meeting. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate Pennsylvania American coming here and talking about the issue that the constituent brought about. And I know that there's probably many others in the community that are wondering, you know, kind of what's going on with the update to the roads in and around the downtown. So you're welcome to come up to the podium and give us just a brief update, and we'll go from there.
Good evening. My name is Joe Woodward, and I'm the Senior Director of Operations for Pennsylvania American Water Company. I'm joined here this evening with Rob Bidzaka. He's our construction supervisor here at Hershey, and also Ryan Troutman is in the audience as well. He's our superintendent at Hershey, and John Prozek, who is who is our Senior Manager of Operations. So I cover Central and Southeast PA. I'm out of our Mechanicsburg office, so I'm kind of local here. It was suggested or asked if maybe we come and speak to the board in regards to, we're getting close to winter now, and we have a lot of construction that was going on all year here, and there were some concerns about the conditions of the road. And then also, address the issue, I believe one of your residents was here maybe a couple weeks ago at a previous board meeting. I can tell you, not going to take a lot of details, we did instruct our contractor to turn that over to their insurance company to have it looked at, investigated, and we also filed a claim with PA American Water's insurance company. So it's with the insurance company now. They'll reach out to that resident and they'll work with him on his issue and you know, investigate it and go from there.
Thank you, Mr.
That's
Woodward. Thank you. Okay.
So again, that is being addressed. The second thing is, again, we want to I know people, first of all, I want to apologize. I know it's been very inconvenient, a lot of the construction that's been going on all year. I want to take a step back and just real quick, we were approached maybe 2 years ago by PennDOT, and PennDOT informed us that they had a large paving project coming up, West Governor, East Governor, Cocoa, a bunch of roads out in that area, and it was a pretty comprehensive paving project. And we take it very seriously, PA American Water. Like when municipality or PennDOT comes to us and, you know, we get advance notice, we try to coordinate to make sure that we take a serious look at our infrastructure. And if it's something that, you know, we feel like really should be replaced prior to road getting paved, we'll make a serious effort to try to do that. Now we're in 408 municipalities across the state. Sometimes it's hard to do that, but we really looked at this project here and felt this was really a good project for us to try to get in there and replace, you know, our water lines prior to the PennDOT paving project. And I'm going to let Rob talk about that a little bit. But again, we know that it's been very inconvenient for the drivers. I come over every Thursday night and drop my son off at lacrosse practice on Mary's Sports Training Center. I come into town, have dinner, and I know on the way back I'll stop and, like, it's not great. Like, and we try to do the work at night. I want to thank the police chief and thank the township for working with us. We had a number of incidents with drivers. Like, the drivers just are not as careful anymore as they used to be. And there was some very serious incidents that occurred out at the job site. And we were able to work with the Derry Township and contract some police officers, and they sit out there. That's been wonderful to make the job site a lot safer for our workers and for the drivers, quite frankly, as well, too, out there. So thank you for that. And again, it just, we look at it this way, and it's in the big picture, it's temporary inconvenience for long-term peace and quiet. We do not want to be the first utility that once a road's paved, we get in there and have to tear it up after it was paved. And again, I fully acknowledge it's very inconvenient, and the construction project itself was very difficult, and like I said, we're still going, but thank you for allowing us to come out tonight and give you an update. Now, I'm going to turn over to Rob. Rob will give you an update on where we stand and what our, I think we started doing the paving, the trench paving for the winter time, and Rob will give you an update on the progress and what the estimated schedule is moving forward for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. the roads that we're working on is West Governor Road, East Governor Road, Cocoa Avenue, Fishburne Road, and Swatera Avenue and Old West Chocolate Avenue. Combined total, we're looking at replacing almost 16,000 feet of pipe. Going into these projects, we knew there were going to be a lot of obstacles that we were going to be hitting. First is night work, heavy traffic areas. That was a PennDOT request. Other issues that we've had that has really slowed our progress is heavy rock excavation. We try to shoot for 200 feet a day. We're lucky if we're getting 20 feet. Other things, electrical duct bank crossings that did not come up in the engineering planning, that took coordination with PP&L. That took quite a few weeks. There were some depression remediations that we had to perform in our trench line on some of these roads. There were unmarked abandoned gas line hits. Fortunately, no injuries, no gas leaks, but that can shut down a site for many hours. Emergency services are constantly being called. We had some jack and boring under some streams. That takes a lot of coordination. And then, as Joe said, we also had some vehicle incidents. One of them with the vehicle landing in our trench line excavation. We had another driver that went through our signage and fell asleep, admitted to the police that she fell asleep. So, again, the police presence has definitely had a positive feedback from our contractor. Status of the projects. Right now, construction and service tieovers have been completed on East Governor, West Governor, and Cocoa Avenue. Final trench line restorations have also begun on these roads. Currently, there are two crews that are paving at the intersection of Fishburne Road and Governor and Cocoa Avenue. The services on these roads are also being restored. Starting next Monday, one crew will start paving the water main trench line, and the second crew will start later in the week. And right now they're focusing on West Governor Road and Cocoa Avenue due to the number of service tieovers and the concern by the public. And then they'll eventually move on over into East Governor Road. While this is happening, we also have two crews that are working on Fishburne Road. They are doing service tieovers as we speak. And then Swatera Avenue is being completed during the day because we are able to detour traffic. So they are getting piped in. The goal, according to our contractors, to be done by the end of the year. We fully understand we are responsible for maintaining these trench line restorations throughout the winter. Speaking to PennDOT's contractor, Pensy, they're looking at early April to start doing the full mill and overlay on all these roads. That's what I
think. Great. Well, we thank you, Mr. Woodward, Ms. Vivaca, and your entire team. Thank you for coming, giving us the update. We get these questions. It's nice to be able to bring in the professionals to kind of give the lay of the land and let us know when everything is, you know, moving along. We all had no idea all of the issues that you were encountering. Obviously, that would cause delays. So I know as a community, we're all really looking forward to the nice new paved roads in April. And so now we're less than 6 months from that. So thank you for keeping the open lines of communication and giving us a nice update.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah. Did any? No?
Thank
no.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, Rich Campbell, 39 Hockersville Road. The Swatera Street you're talking about, that's part of North Hockersville and makes a turn. My question to you is, I live there and every morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock, you guys get started. You dig up a trench, maybe 40 feet, you do something, then you come back and you fill it in, you macadam it, you go away. Come back the next day, you dig up the same trench. Why leave it open, get your pipe in, do what you gotta do, put metal plates down? But every day you're dumping, I'd say 20 tons of stone, haul 20 stones out in the morning, bring it back in the evening, filling up the trench, and then you open up the next day. Is that, what's the purpose of that?
Well, I don't know specifically that. I have to look into that and talk to the contractor, but I will tell you, in other construction projects that I'm familiar with, there are instances where if there's a lot of utilities in the street, like I don't know specifically, I have to research this one to get back to you. But sometimes, well,
now I know that.
We're required now by the Public Utility Commission and the PA1 call laws that we have to expose the other utilities that are generally in the area. So what contractors have been doing the last couple of years is they will come through with a crew and they'll send that crew through first to daylight, find the other utilities, and then they'll dig up the trench. They'll dig a trench and basically fill back in stone. And they go through and they basically, to avoid any hit facilities later on, they'll go through and do that. And if pipeline crew will come back through later and lay the pipeline after all the other utilities were daylighted. In fact, I don't know if your specific situation you're talking about is that situation, but we certainly can look into that.
Mr. Woodward, thank
you. We're replacing a fire hydrant.
Mr. Gamble.
They dug the ditch where it was going to go. They filled it up and left. Came back the next day, dug it up again. Apparently, they didn't have the hydrant or the pipe. They filled it up and left again. Now we finally got two hydrants 5 feet apart from each other and in McAdam. But it took 3 days to get one fire hydrant. That's where I'm a little concerned. I mean, okay. Is it efficient to do it that way? I don't know. Is it safety reasons? I don't know.
Mr. Gamble,
thank you,
Mr. Woodward, for answering questions from our residents, too. I appreciate that. If there's any other residents that have questions, if they would like to take it offline, I don't know if you're willing to answer any questions before you depart for this evening. Was there any board members that have any questions?
No.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, if there's any other questions from residents that would like to talk to the representatives from PAmerican, you're welcome to go out into the lobby and discuss it. But thank you all for being here and for giving us the update. We really appreciate it. Okay. Is there anyone else? We'll open up the visitor and public comment section for the beginning of the meeting. Would anyone like to come up that's here from the public? Just a note, if you're coming up, we need your name, your address, and for everybody's notice, our meetings are recorded. So if you're coming and offering public comment, you will be recorded, and it's so that we can create accurate minutes. So please proceed.
Good evening. My name is Diane Procasini. I live at 40 Hillside Road in Hershey. At the October 22nd meeting, I reviewed the negative impact of the levied fees for AquaFit classes at the Recreation Center. I stated that this practice by the Recreation Center is viewed as discriminatory by the participants, who are all senior citizens. The newspaper article that followed that meeting created a renewed fury by the AquaFit participants, so that it has now become an issue conveyed to the general public. In fact, I was only made aware of the article by a person who lives in Middletown who goes golfing with my husband. Since that meeting, I have been in touch with Natalie Nutt via email about possible resolutions to this problem. I want to state that Ms. Nutt has been extremely cordial and professional in her communication with me. Amy Walker was included in these emails, but I was negligent at adding Mr. Michael Corrado in these discussions. I would hope that these emails were communicated and forwarded to all members of the board. The apparent resolution to this issue is a computer program called ActiveNet, where people can sign up for classes online. There will be a supposed discount, and people do not have to be a member to sign up for classes. On the surface, this seems like a very good solution in the computer-savvy population. Many seniors, I might add, are not computer-savvy, and for all of us, change is hard. Many participants live in senior communities and often do not have access to computers or using old ones. A simpler solution is to put AquaFit classes on a loadable card, much like a season pass at the Hershey Park. Perhaps one could purchase 10 or 20 classes at a time, which would be easy and more economical for participants. The more classes you buy, the bigger the discount. The card would be used to enter the facility and then swipe like a credit card. I hope you will seriously consider the solution, as it is supported by most of the participants. An ActiveNet solution is not widely supported by my verbal survey of AquaFit participants. I understand that the Recreation Center wants to move toward a more universal system, but it does not meet all the needs of seniors. Senior citizens are a unique population and should be treated as such. That is why separate programs across the board now exist for this population in the United States. Meeting seniors where they are is viewed by the public as goodwill, as everyone has older individuals in their lives. I'm exceedingly grateful for the board's understanding in this matter and look forward to a solution that works for everyone. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. And Amy will be in touch too. We talked about your, okay. Okay, thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to offer comments on the record this evening? Okay, seeing no one coming forward, we'll move on to our first order of business. And this evening, that is the consent calendar. If you signed in at the table at the front of the room, you'll notice on the township calendars, there are three items on the consent calendar. So the board may adopt all three in one motion based on what is on tonight's agenda. So is there a motion to adopt this evening's consent calendar, the three items A, B, and C?
I move that the board accept the consent calendar, items A through C, as made public in tonight's agenda.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, seconded by Supervisor Zamuda. Any questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the consent calendar is approved. All right, moving on to our new business for this evening. The first item is the requesting authorization to execute Ameriprise Financial Corporate or Entity Resolution form to obtain a donation for the Hershey Public Library. Mrs. Jacobine.
Thank you. The Hershey Public Library was recently notified that it has been named as a beneficiary of the estate of Susan E. Britting. The paperwork to finalize this generous donation requires a corporate or entity resolution form be signed to make Allison Jacobine the authorized signer to obtain the funds on behalf of Derry Township or Hershey Public Library. The attached paperwork that you will find in your packet requires the signatures of one of the members of the Board of Supervisors and an agreement to the resolution terms on page 5 and 6 of the form.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Is there any questions for Allison on this agenda item? It's very exciting.
It was very kind of Susan.
Yeah, very.
It was very generous.
Okay.
Did they say how much?
Not yet.
No.
That's okay. What the signature is for.
All right. Well, then I will offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorizes the execution of the corporate or entity resolution form for Ameriprise Financial and that Allison Jacobine be named as the authorized signatory on the account on behalf of Derry Township and the Hershey Public Library. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All right. Seconded by Supervisor Giovanello. Is there any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, and the motion passes unanimously. All right, our second order of business this evening is the consideration of authorizing a text amendment to the zoning ordinance related to medical marijuana dispensary uses in the township. Mr. Emmerich, if you could please bring us up to speed on this agenda item.
Sure. The township has received a request from Charles Beckley on behalf of Terra Farm Incorporated to amend the township zoning ordinance to allow medical marijuana dispensaries as either a permitted use or a special exception use in the commercial zoning district. As the board's aware, in 2017, when we first rewrote our ordinance, medical marijuana was just coming on the horizon. It is accounted for in our present, in the 2017 and the 2019 ordinance. The laws allowing medical marijuana were established April 17th of 2016, yet I don't believe the first dispensary began serving patients until April of 2018. The laws continue to change related to medical marijuana and recreational marijuana in Pennsylvania. As I said, no one was sure what it would look like in 2017 when the ordinance was first adopted. We included the use and only allowed them as a conditional use in the limited compatibility zoning district. Just of interest, today there's about 180 dispensaries in Pennsylvania. The applicants did forward to me a PowerPoint that they would like to go through if it pleases the board.
All right. The applicant is welcome, or the presenter is welcome, to come up and make the presentation.
Hi, my name is Charlie Beckley. I'm a lawyer with Beckley & Madden in Harrisburg, and I'm here tonight on behalf of TerraPharm. TerraPharm is a medical marijuana company. It's based in Carlisle, and it was recently approved by the Pennsylvania Department of Health as a clinical registrant. Now, that means it's a partner, going to partner with the new Duquesne Medical School to conduct clinical research regarding medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. It is, it will do that through operating a grower processor facility, which will be in the western part of the state, and then six medical marijuana dispensaries. I have with me Mark Toigo, who is the majority owner of TerraPharm, Eric Hauser, who is a pharmacist and the president and CEO of TerraPharm. Both these fellows have broad experience operating medical marijuana dispensaries in the southeast part of the state, in south central Pennsylvania, and in western Pennsylvania through their affiliation with Organic Remedies, which is another medical marijuana company based in Carlisle. I also have, is here, Krupal Desai. He is here because he owns the Park Village Plaza. TerraPharm would like to open a medical marijuana dispensary in the Park Village Plaza in the space that's currently occupied by the Bollywood Indian Fusion restaurant. As Chuck said, medical marijuana dispensaries are not permitted in the general commercial district, which is where the Park Village Plaza is. They are permitted in the limited compatibility district, but that's the only place they're permitted in the township. And we would like respectfully to request that the board consider adopting an amendment to allow medical marijuana dispensaries in the general commercial district. Now, I'm going to be quiet and let Eric tell you a little bit about medical marijuana dispensaries, and he can answer any questions that the board members may have concerning.
Thanks, Charlie. Good evening. Thanks for having us here today. I'm just going to walk through a quick presentation, be respectful of your time, but certainly stop me at any point and ask questions. That's an image of the waiting room in one of our stores in the Pittsburgh area. I want to go over what a dispensary is, because I think there's still, even after 6 years of operations in the state, I still think there's not a clear understanding of what happens there. Talk about the workflow in a dispensary, security compliance, and in our research collaboration with Duquesne University's School of Osteopathic Medicine. So just a little bit about us, who we are. We started a company called Organic Remedies back in 2016. We were awarded a license in 2017, and we opened one of the first medical marijuana dispensaries over in the Enola area. It was in February of 2018. Since then, we've opened five more stores and a grower processor facility. So we actually grow the marijuana and then process it into various products, vape pens, capsules, transdermal patches, things of that nature. So we're very embedded in the community. We are all Pennsylvania residents, and we each have skill sets in different areas that help us operate the business. We put patients first. That's what we do. We design the stores around patients' needs. My background is pharmacy. I worked for 27 years in the community pharmacy business, mostly for Rite Aid pharmacies all over the country, really. But, you know, we're really about taking care of people, helping them. This is another shot of the kind of like the vestibule of one of our stores. You know, we've got a partnership with Duquesne. I'll get into that at the end. But more or less, a dispensary is what I would call a hybrid between a doctor's office and a pharmacy. There's a pharmacist on duty the whole time that we're there. They're talking to patients, counseling patients, putting together treatment plans, and then patients are coming in to purchase medications, get refills, get advice, what have you. Just a little bit about me again, pharmacist. I've been working in the cannabis industry for about 7 years now. Never really thought that was going to be on my roadmap, but you know, things just played out the way they did. And honestly, it's I've seen things cannabis can do that traditional medicine can't. So it's been very rewarding for me to help help patients in ways I couldn't in the traditional pharmacy. There's a couple other key team members. These are Bill Cook and Gary Flythe. They've been part of our organization since the get-go. Both in law enforcement, Bill was also ex-military. They handle our logistics and you know, a lot of what we do as far as security logistics. And again, I'm not gonna go through all the details, but so what's a store look like? You know, there's typically 20 to 30 employees, of course, not all on duty at the same time. There might be 8 or 10 employees at a time. There's a store manager, team leads, you could consider that like an assistant manager, pharmacist, of course, receptionists, patient care consultants, and security agents. So those are different categories of jobs that we have within our store. The site that we're asking for the variance is, as Charlie pointed out, located in the shopping center here. It's about 4,000 square feet inline store. That's a picture of it. It's the one with the high facade. It's currently an Indian fusion restaurant. This is a picture on the left of the sales floor in one of our stores. You know, safety and security of our patients is our top priority. As you can see, it's not much different than any other kind of retail store you would go in. There's some empty packaging in the display cases. People get an idea of what types of products we have. Each one of those POS stations is like a register that patients are helped individually by patient care consultants after they've had a conversation with the pharmacist about what would best meet their needs. Again, pharmacist is always on duty. They have certain things they have to do based on the Department of Health regulations. But their main job is to, again, counsel patients and educate them on the different types of products that are available. Of course, we only sell products that are tested and approved through the state's regulatory system. We don't sell any of the what's called gas station CBD, you know, untested products that, because of the farm bill, were being sold all over the place these days. So we're all in a regulatory environment with lab testing, again, patient safety being the primary concern. And no one can self-administer products, and no one's using the product on our site. Some more pictures of waiting rooms and sales areas of the store, just to give you an idea of what it looks like inside. And this is a floor plan. So from the left-hand side over, that's like patient-facing. That's where the patients would come in the front door. You know, they can't come in the front door unless they have a state-issued ID that's supplied by the Department of Health. They get that by being certified to have one of 24 serious medical conditions. And basically, there's like cancer, chronic pain, anxiety, you know, there's a list. So they have that condition, they get a card through the state, and only people with that card can come into the store. So it's not like people can walk in and window shop or anything like that. There's a waiting room. Well, there's a reception desk first. Patient checks in. There's a waiting room. Restrooms are available if they need it. They are basically taken one by one into the sales area, and then they work with the patient care consultant to either pick up their refills or talk to the pharmacist or whatever the situation calls for. The right half of the diagram is basically employee facing only. There's a break room, another set of bathrooms, some office space, and a vault that all the product is kept in. So again, the operations that we're proposing are very similar in nature to businesses that are permitted in the zoning district that we're looking to put our store in, the healthcare providers' offices, retail stores, outpatient treatment facilities, and the like. Our hours of operation would be 9 to 9 Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 10 to 6. We talked about the employees that would work there and the various job functions. Only patients. I didn't talk about caregivers. Caregiver is somebody who goes through a state background check and is affiliated to a particular patient. So it's not like a pharmacy where anybody can come in and pick up their prescription. If you know the person's name and date of birth, that's not permitted. The caregiver actually gets a card issued by the state that they have to renew annually, and they're permitted to come in. That's mainly for people that are, you know, not mobile because maybe they're old or they just can't be ambulatory. And then we talked about visitors. There really are no visitors outside of maintenance people or the state that come and they do random inspections. And then, you know, we typically service 100 to 200 patients a day. That's probably going to be more like 30 to 50 starting out until people realize we're there and, you know, build up over the course of several years. That's kind of what we envision the important stats are. Security-wise, a lot of this is dictated by the state. There's basically cameras inside and outside the store. There's card access to every door in the building, doors into the vault, and into the front door. It requires a scan of a card and a PIN number, so dual authentication. There's lots of security at night, glass break sensors, seismic sensors, all these things. We're monitored 24/7 by a security agency, much like pharmacies. You know, again, we've got a facility in Maryland that basically monitors any kind of alarms, things like that. And then we have folks within our company that also monitor. Our growth facility's got 24-hour security that we staff. They actually respond to any kinds of alarms or calls from that security agency if they see anything that's concerning. We use a local company called Lovie, which is out of Mechanicsburg. They do all of our security, like the equipment and the wiring and the setup of the servers and all that stuff. Yeah, just another picture. So this is the grow facility. Obviously, the dispensary wouldn't have that many cameras in it, but typically about 30 cameras in a dispensary that cover the inside and the outside of the store. And then there's, you know, access alarms for the vault and the store itself. Yeah, security system that any store would have. Cameras, very high resolution cameras, again, all dictated by the State Department of Health, but we maintain our recordings for 180 days. We've never had any real issues. We did have one attempted burglary in our Enola store about a year into operating, and you know, that person was apprehended within about 15 minutes of breaking the glass in the front door. That's the only issue that we've ever had operating six stores for the better part of 7 years. So again, I could talk about security all day long, but you kind of get the picture. If there is a visitor, like a plumber, an electrician type thing, they have to supply a state-issued photo ID or government-issued photo ID. They have to wear a security tag that has their name, their company, and they have to be escorted by one of our employees for the entire duration of their visit. So that's the visitor policy. And then, again, we're connected to Duquesne University. They just opened a medical school this year, and what we're looking to do is research some of these medical conditions that medical marijuana is helping, but maybe doesn't have quite the traditional research behind it that, you know, traditional drugs might. And that's mainly because of the Schedule I nature of the drug, and just it's hard to do research with that kind of a drug. But because of the special collaboration we have with the university, we're going to be able to do that. So we're excited about that. So that was a lot, but again, happy to answer questions about any or all of the sections.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hauser, for the presentation. We'll take it under advisement.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, moving on to our next order of business, that is releasing the performance security and entering the maintenance security period for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Mary's Health and Fitness, plat 1366. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Performance security was provided in the original amount of $537,217. The Board of Supervisors had taken previous action to release a total of $444,754, resulting in the current balance of $92,463. The construction has been completed. HRG has performed an inspection and led to their recommendation to release the performance security in full. However, there was some improvements at the driveway in the public right-of-way. They estimate those improvements to be $14,544. For the subdivision and land development ordinance, we would retain about 15%, well, not about, we would retain 15% of that amount for 18 months. That amount is $2,182. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorizes the release of the remaining balance of the performance security and contingent upon the developer providing maintenance security in the amount of $2,182.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Is there any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this agenda item? All right, seeing that there are none, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion that this board authorizes the release of the remaining balance, $92,463, of the performance security provided for plat 1366. In the form of Fulton Bank letter of credit number STB820, contingent upon the developer providing maintenance security in the amount of $2,182.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor Corrado. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. So that wraps up our business portion of this evening's meeting and brings us to our supervisor board and committee reports. So starting on the left, Supervisor Zamuda, do you have reports for this evening?
I have no reports, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Corrado?
No reports.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Giovanello, any report for this evening?
No reports.
Okay. Supervisor Wyckoff.
I have no report. Thank you.
Okay. I've got a brief one. I wanted to update the group. Last meeting, we talked about the aquascience classes, and I know I was asked just to give a brief update. We had a really, Amy, Zach, and I had a really nice conversation with the ladies that stayed after to talk about the aquascience. We've been going back and forth by email. And I think we'll be able to come to a resolution that keeps class costs as low as possible for those participants And we are going to work. Amy is going to do a great job with working with the participants to make sure that there's options for those that might not want to use a computer to be able to sign up for the classes. So I think we're making great progress with that. And details will be forthcoming from Amy and her department, making sure that all of the participants of that class know what's going on moving into 2025. And I think they'll be excited about the changes. And I think that they're going to do great, that they're going to be able to make the AquaSize work. And then at that point, we'll make all of the classes that are offered at the community center consistent so that everything is in the same programming system. The AquaSize participants have been paying a fee since 1987. And we thought it was the most flexible way to make it work for them. And with talking with them, we think that this will be a really good option. So that's all going well. So that's my only update for this evening. So moving on to our department heads. So we'll start with the police department.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing further for tonight.
Okay. Mr. Watt, anything from the Public Works Department?
We are busy collecting leaves. Apologize to residents for the dry conditions that may dust out their vehicles. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything we can with the equipment we have to... There's not much more we can do.
Yeah.
Some rain would help us. Yeah. I was glad to see sunny skies, green grass, and lots of community at the Veterans Day ceremony on Monday. It was great to see the park being used again and open.
Yeah, it was amazing. That whole event was amazing to all of the departments that brought that all together. It was really wonderful to have that event and have so many people from the community come out. Was great. So thank you to your department and the police department and Parks and Rec and the administrative staff. It was just a really great event. Mrs. Jacobine, library report.
So we have story times coming back for another 6 weeks starting this week. You can check our online calendar for more information on this and all of our events. On Tuesday, November 19th, we have Dungeons and Dragons 101 for teens, and then a true crime investigation led by an ex law enforcement agent. So he's taking the servant girl murders from Texas and doing a true crime investigation with the people who visit. And then we're doing Jack the Ripper in January, which should be really cool. And then on Saturday, November 23rd, we have a game room. So basically, we're going to open up the meeting rooms, put the games on the big screen, and everyone is invited to join. So, yeah.
Sounds great. Thank you. All right, Ms. Walker, Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last Saturday, we had our 38th annual Hershey Arts and Crafts Show at the Hershey High School from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we had over 130 vendors and about 2,700 shoppers this year. So we're rounding out some of our events for the year. The next one on the list would be Santa's Holiday Swim Fest, which I hope to have some more details to update in a couple weeks for everyone.
Okay, thank you. That sounds fun, too. All right, Mr. Stump.
No report tonight.
Mr. Emmerich, anything to report this evening?
Nothing more this evening, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jackson. No report. Okay. Finally, Mr. Crispin, anything to report out?
Yes, just a couple things. We do have a couple personnel matters to discuss in executive session following this meeting. And I just would like to thank everyone who's been involved in the Veterans Day ceremony, as Greg mentioned, and all board members were present on Monday. So it was great. It's a great dedication service. And I think it's something that the township can be very proud of and the community can be very proud of moving forward. I think it's in the absolute right location. And I couldn't be happier with the way the final product looks in Chocolatown Park. So I hope everyone else is as happy as I am about it, but just want to thank all hands on deck for making that dedication ceremony really meaningful. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you to you and the entire staff. It was amazing. So and thank you, Becky. I think Becky's back there. I know she had a big role in this. It was great. And I hope that if you haven't already seen it in the community, it is really a beautiful, beautiful park. So that wraps up our department report. So that brings us to our last opportunity for anyone in the public who would like to offer comments for the record. You are welcome to come up, offer your comments. Name, address, keep it under 3 minutes, and you're welcome to approach the podium.
Good evening. My name is Tom Patrisco. I live on Fiddler's Elbow Road. I'm requesting the board's support for the rampant speeding on our road. With the opening of the UPS facility 2 years ago, the speeding is constant by the employees, because we are a quick access down to North Union Street, where the facility is located. One of the drivers told me the facility is the fourth largest in the country, that distribution center. And then south of there is the FedEx facility on Fulling Mill Road. I called the state police, and they said they won't come out unless you send them a letter requesting assistance for speed enforcement. The speeding is 24/7, 7 days a week. And with the holidays coming up, the seasonal help will be. They have about 300 employees down there.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
My suggestion, one of them is, go look at Devonshire Road up near Colonial Park. They have speed humps on there every 100 feet. And you have to do 25 miles an hour or you'll wreck your suspension on your car. That'd be one suggestion. The other one you'll have to talk to the public works engineers about. My other thought is at the PPL property at the beginning of Fiddler's Elbow Road, maybe put a Derry Township Police Department substation there with a sergeant and some police officers who would be detached to do speed enforcement on a regular basis. Because as long as those facilities are there, the employees are never going to slow down. And it gets really bad at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and goes all the way till 10 o'clock at night, I've watched it. 3 years ago, I talked to Lieutenant Faree about it before he retired, and he put some kind of radar recording device. And when he called me up 3 days later, he said the speeds were all over the map.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Patrisco, for letting us know that. And I know our chief of police is here. He just heard what you had to say. I know he's got some of those devices, might be able to post some of those and some of the officers out there. I know we do hear from a lot of residents on different roads about the speed humps. And, we'll take that under advisement, too.
Okay.
So thank you for coming and offering your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to offer comments for the public tonight?
Hi, I'm Andrea Lloyd, 2029C, Raleigh Road. Anyhow, I'm here about the aqua aerobics. I know you said you already talked to Amy about it a bit. Just to let you know that was really the thing that I enjoy doing at the rec center. I had purchased a membership, but on top of the $55 a month, then I was paying another $100 to go to the classes, 5 classes a week, $5 each. So then I was paying $155 a month, and that's really the only event that I do there because of whatever reasons. That's what I enjoy. So I just wanted to let you know that. I think that, it doesn't follow with the rest of the programs, although I'm not really sure what you guys have up your sleeve. So that's all. Thanks.
Well, thank you for offering your comments. And, more information is forthcoming. But I know one thing I will note, with the new setup, you won't need to be a member if you're only enjoying the classes.
You can do that now, but it's $10 a class. So instead of 125 or 100 a month, that would make it 200 a month for me to just come and enjoy the aqua classes that I liked.
Yeah. Well, we hope that the solution will please at least some of the group or most of the group, and we'll be forthcoming with that information soon. So thank you for your comments and being here this evening. Is there anyone else that would like to offer comment tonight? All right, seeing as no one else has approached the podium, that brings us to our last order of business this evening, which is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? All right, thank you, Supervisor Zamuda. I will second that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And with that, this meeting is closed. Have a good night, everyone.